Thank you for that song. If you would, turn over to the book of 1 Samuel chapter 1. I'm going to ask you to turn to two places. The message today is a topical message, and I want to read two passages of Scripture, and then we'll enter into into our topic today. And the first is 1 Samuel chapter 1. We're going to read verse 12 through verse 14, and this deals with the time where Hannah was barren and she desired a child, and there were a lot of complications in her life and a lot of stress that came upon her, and she decided to go up to the temple to pray. And so 1 Samuel chapter 1 verse 12, "And it came to pass as she continued praying before the Lord that Eli marked her mouth. Now Hannah, she spake in her heart, only her lips moved, but her voice was not heard. Therefore Eli thought she had been drunken. And Eli said unto her, How long wilt thou be drunken? Put away thy wine from thee." Now, if you would, turn to 2 Kings chapter 4. 2 Kings chapter 4. This passage refers us to the Shunammite. And Elisha and his servant kept passing through this way. And the Shunammite took care of, and her family took care of, Elisha and the servant for years. And so God gave her a child as a result of just blessing her because of her commitment to the Lord and the things that she had done. And it came to pass through the process of time as this child grew that when he became in it, most likely his teen years, that he died. And so we're going to read 2 Kings chapter 4, verse 25. And this is the Shunammite woman going to Elisha because she lost her son. 2 Kings 4, verse 25. "So when she went and came to the man of God to Mount Carmel, and it came to pass when the man of God saw her afar off, that he said to the Gehazi, his servant, Behold, yonder is the Shunammite. Run now, I pray thee, to meet her, and say unto her, Is it well with thee? Is it well with the husband? Is it well with the child? And she answered, It is well. And when she came to the man of God to the hill, she caught him by the feet. But Gehazi came near to thrust her away. And the man of God said, Let her alone, for her soul is vexed within her, and the Lord hath hid it from me and hath not told me." And so we find an account of that in our passage today. Now, these two things that we see in these passages tell of two people who were experiencing inward pain, but who were in some capacity able to shield it. Eli thought Hannah was drunken, but she was overcome with emotion and with hurt. The Shunammite had lost her son in death, and she was overwhelmed with grief, but Elisha was unaware of her pain. Now, I submit unto you that the vast majority of people with whom we come into contact possess an unseen stress. Truth is, most of us guard against exposing too much. And I venture to say that every one of us here today have inward pain to some regard. When we were on our senior trip with the seniors, we went to a leadership camp in North Carolina. It was pretty much like a church camp, except that the focus was on high school seniors. And what happened on Thursday night is that there was a time for each school group to get alone and to provide an opportunity for the kids to give testimony. And most of the seniors from Chad's class spoke. And what I found from listening to this time of sharing is that people were good at covering up their pain. Nearly everyone who testified spoke of some sort of pain or hurt in their life. Some spoke of poor interpersonal relationships with other classmates and how hurt they were. Others spoke of family problems. A few spoke of parental issues. Some were dealing with broken homes, others with broken hearts. Then there were the hurt feelings and the disappointments, discouragements, and emotional hurts, and the tears were flowing freely. Among other things, what I took away from listening to those young people was the pain in each of their lives. I've seen those kids for years, and I would have never guessed the heartache which they possessed. And yet each in their own way had private pain, and they covered it well. One would think that most of them didn't have a care in the world, but the reality was they were hurting, and they were hurting deeply. And as a result, I was reminded that people that we encounter, face affliction of some sort, and everyone has problems, and each have their own crosses to bear. Those about us may put on an air of bravery and manage to smile, but deep inside they're crying, they're hurting. It is my objective today to address those in our midst who put on a happy face, but who are sad inside. And I'd like to lend some biblical guidance. I would also like to remind all of us to be cognizant of the fact that so many around us are hurting. There are many people who have private pain. And so that's the title of my message today that I would speak to you about. It's private pain. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for the day and the privilege of being in your house, and thank you for those who are able to be with us. And Lord, we ask that you would bless the message which you've laid upon my heart to share with your people at this time. And I ask that you would just help each of us to be drawn to you. We ask if there's any loss, that they might be saved. If there's, Lord, those of us who are saved here, the private pain, maybe no one knows, but you certainly know. God, I ask that you would just use these things as an encouragement to them and to myself, that as we go through this life, we would honor you by the way we live. Lord, may everything that's said and done be for your glory. And we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Private pain. I think we all have some of it. Some greater than others. So I look at it this way. When I have private pain, it is incumbent that I respond to it properly. As a Christian, I do desire to honor God in my life. That includes how I deal with my fears and with my hurt. And in this message, I offer you my perspective on this subject. And perhaps something will be said today that will help you with your private pain. The first thing I would like to do is, what is it that I must know? If I'm going to deal with my private pain, things that you may not know about, things that my wife may not know about, if I have private pain and I need to deal with that, there are things that I must know in order to deal with it properly. And so I would like to list these for you today. The first thing I believe is that we ought to know that God exists. I need to know that God is real, that God exists. Genesis chapter 1, verse 1 just makes a simple declaration that God is. I ran into somebody this week out in the community, and they had made a profession of faith. They had been baptized in the Baptist church, but they confessed to me that they weren't even really sure now whether or not there is even a God. And because of all the trouble and the heartache through their life, and I tried to reassure this individual that God is on His throne, and she needs to return back to Him, and she needs to turn to Him. If I'm going to deal with my private pain, I have to know that God exists. Because that tells me that life is not by accident. Life is not random. You know, some people think that, I mean, if they believe in evolution, they believe there's no God and all that kind of thing, that all this just happened by chance and it's all guesswork and how these things come about, it's just the way it is. I don't believe that for a heartbeat. I believe that God is the creator and sustainer of this universe. And if I'm going to deal with my private pain, I better know that God is there, that God exists, that thing is not just a random act. It's just not a ping pong ball bouncing around in a windstorm. God is on His throne. Life is not random like that. I also need to understand that since God exists, that man is not the pinnacle, but rather God is. God is superior. If it was all up to me and this is all there is and it was all man was the best it is, then I would look at my pain and go, man, I don't have a lot of help, do I? You wouldn't have much help. But I'm glad that there is a creator and sustainer. I'm glad there is a God in this world, in this universe that looks over this world that is so far beyond us. He can do abundantly above what we ask or think. You're dealing with pain today. You need to recognize God exists. There is a sovereign God who can intervene in the affairs of man, and I'm glad He's there. If it was just up to me or just up to mankind, boy, we wouldn't have a whole lot of hope, but there is a God. So as I deal with my inward pain, I must first of all recognize that God exists. And then I would believe and realize that God knows. I must recognize that God knows about me. God not only exists, but He knows. Listen to 1 Samuel chapter 16 and verse 7. For the Lord seeth not as a man seeth. For man looketh on the outward appearance, but the Lord looketh on the heart. God knows every one of us. God looks on every one of our hearts. Psalm 11, verse 4, the Lord is in His holy temple. The Lord's throne is in heaven. His eyes behold, His eyelids try the children of men. God sees every man, everywhere, throughout all the creation. God knows everything. God is omniscient. God has all knowledge. Turn, if you will, to the book of Hebrews chapter 4. While you're turning over there, Isaiah chapter 46 and verse 10 says, declaring the end from the beginning and from ancient times, the things that are not yet done, saying, my counsel shall stand, and I will do all my pleasure. God knows all things, Isaiah 46:10 tells us. God is aware. Sometimes we'll look at our lives, we'll look at the things that are going on, and we'll say, well, I believe there's a God, but I'm not sure He really knows what's going on in my heart. He really doesn't understand me. But I'll tell you, my friend, I don't know what your private pain might be. That's why it's private. But God does. I've asked you to turn to Hebrews chapter 4. Look at verse 15. For we have not an high priest which cannot be touched with the feelings of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin. There's a double negative there. And what it says is that we do have a high priest that can be touched with the feelings of our infirmities. Do you know why? Because He was tempted in all points like as we are, though Jesus did not sin. There isn't anything that can happen to you that Jesus doesn't have a sense of, doesn't have an awareness of. God has all knowledge from the beginning to the end. Everything that will ever take place anywhere in any capacity whatsoever. And God certainly knows me, and He certainly knows you. And He knows us intimately. And He knows everything that you're going through. If you pray to God, you cry out to Him, God, I have this pain. That's not a surprise to Him. He's aware. He knows it before you tell Him about it. But I still encourage you to tell Him. I encourage you to pray. Turn back, if you would, to Matthew chapter 6. As a related verse, here in Matthew chapter 6, I'll tell you, if I'm going to deal with my private pain, I must know that God exists, and I must know that God knows. Matthew chapter 6, verse 31 says, therefore take no thought, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or wherewithal shall we be clothed? Notice the parentheses that's included in the next text. For after all these things do the Gentiles seek. Notice, for your heavenly Father knoweth that you have need of all these things. Does God know? Does He know you need food, shelter, clothing? Does He know that? Does He know about your health? Does He know about your finances? Does He know about your family situation? Does He know about your church situation? Does He know about the work problems? God knows everything. There's nothing hidden from God. God knows all things, but don't feel isolated. You need to recognize, I have this pain, I have this trouble, I have this heartache. Nobody knows, but God does. And you need to know that God exists, and you need to know that God knows. And if I'm going to face my pain, I must know that. Thirdly, I submit unto you, and you're there in Matthew, turn back a page to Matthew chapter 5. Not only God exists and God knows, God cares. There's a difference between somebody knowing and somebody caring, isn't it? Somebody can know, but that doesn't mean that they care. But God not only knows, but God cares. Back in Matthew chapter 5, we read in verse 45, and there's a discussion there how we ought to love all men, even those who are our enemies. And I just want you to know, God loves His creature. God loves His creation. And He says in verse 45, the middle part of that verse, that He makes His sun to rise upon the evil and on the good, and He sendeth rain upon the just and on the unjust. Why does He do that? Because God cares. We have some rain today for the first time in 3 weeks. He rains upon the just and the unjust. God is aware of all men everywhere, everything that they're going through. And God, you say, well, God only cares for His elect. God cares for all of His creation. He loves His elect in a special fashion, in a special love. But I'll tell you, He loves all of His creation. And the proof of it is that He sends them rain, and He sends them the sun, and He sends them food, and He gives them health, and He provides for them, and on and on and on. And so I want you to know that God cares. God cares. If He's going to do that to the lost, you're here and you're saved today, think what He does for you. Turn, if you would, to 2 Corinthians chapter 1. Paul makes a statement here about who God is, and I want to encourage you with this. I've used this passage many times as I've preached funerals down through the years. In 2 Corinthians chapter 1 and in verse 3, Paul writes and he says, "Blessed be God, even the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ." Notice the Father of mercies, the God of all comfort. If you have private pain today, I know there's one thing you want. You want comfort, don't you? You want some relief. You want some help. And God is the God of all comfort. He is the Father of mercies. God not only knows, God cares. And I know sometimes in our thinking that God is way out there and we're here and God is disassociated from us. And so He might have a knowledge, but He's just too far out there. That's just not true, my friend. Yeah, God resides in heaven, but He lives in the hearts of His people. God knows you. And I'll tell you, He cares about you. Don't we read in Psalm 34, verse 7, "The angel of the Lord encamps round about them that fear Him and delivereth them." Boy, what a promise that is for believers. The angel of the Lord encamps round about us. Does God care? Yes, He cares. God's not some capricious God out there just, you know, "Oh, I'm going to afflict them just for the fun of it." That's not it at all. If you face your private pain today, as I face private pain, we need to know that God exists, that God knows, and that God cares. You're there in 1 Corinthians, or 2 Corinthians. Go back to 1 Corinthians chapter 10. "I submit unto you," and just listen carefully. If I'm going to deal with my inward pain, not only do I need to know that God knows and God cares, but I need to realize God has a purpose. In 2 Peter, go to 1 Corinthians 10, but in 2 Peter chapter 2, verse 9, it says, "The Lord knows how to deliver the godly out of temptations and to reserve the unjust unto the day of judgment to be punished." Now, I realize the context there talks about Lot being delivered out of Sodom and Gomorrah. Here was a godly man in the wrong place at the wrong time, shouldn't have been there, and he vexed his righteous soul from day to day, but when it came time for judgment, God brought him out. God knows how to deliver the godly out of temptation. But that means God has a plan too. God has a program. Here in 1 Corinthians chapter 10, where you turned over there, look at verse 13. You've heard this text for many years, haven't you? "There hath no temptation taken you, but such as is common to man." By the way, the things that you go through, it's not unique to you. You're not the only one that's ever suffered. You're not the only one in private pain and deep hurt. It happens to all people. "There is no temptation taken you, but such as common to man. But God is faithful. God is faithful, who will not suffer or allow you to be tempted above that which you are able, but will with the temptation also make a way of escape that you may be able to bear it." God is on His throne. He's in control. He could eliminate all problems and all cares, but He has chosen not to do that. He allows things to come into our life. But when He allows those things to come into our life and those pains come in, and it could be He just lets us go our own merry way to teach us a lesson. And so we bring all this stuff upon ourselves. Any way you cut it, when we have trouble, when we have trial, when we have temptation, He says He will not forsake us. He, with those temptations, will give us a way of escape. There's always a way to bear it, it says. That means God has a purpose. And so if God intentionally allows things to come into my life that I see as negative, those things that might cause a private pain, it's there for a reason. God is just not afflicting me for the fun of it. God has a plan. Now, He'll give me a way to bear it. He'll give me a way of escape. Now, if I'm foolish enough not to follow those ways, if I'm foolish enough not to submit to Him and not to yield to Him, then I'm going to continue to carry that pain. I'm going to continue to deal with that temptation or the trial. Respond to God properly, and it'll make a difference for you. But I want to remind you, God does have a purpose. I do believe God is a sovereign God, and God works in our lives in a providential way. And He has chosen not to remove every affliction. And He allows so many things to come upon us. I remind you what's written for us in Hebrews 13 and latter part of verse 5. It says, "I will never leave thee nor forsake thee." If God is with me, He's with me all the time, isn't He? God is with me. Then, you know what? Even in that time of hurt and sorrow and pain, you know what? He has a plan. He has a purpose. He's right there. I'm so glad that God has purpose. Turn back to 2 Corinthians chapter 12. "But then I submit unto you that those things of which we've enlisted to you, and which I need to know if I'm going to deal with my private pain. I believe that God gives support. God not only knows, He not only cares, and He not only has a purpose. I believe God gives support. He is the God of all comfort, is He not? Here in 2 Corinthians chapter 12 is the account where the Apostle Paul, he'd been afflicted with some sort of trial affliction. Some people may think that it's a problem with his eyes. You don't really know for sure, but because of the abundance of the revelations that Paul received, he received a messenger of the flesh, a thorn in the flesh, a messenger of the devil, so that he would be kept humble. And he prayed to the Lord three times that thing would be taken away from him. And this is God's response to him in verse 9. He said unto me, My grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. As a result of that, Paul said, Most gladly, therefore, will I rather glory in my infirmities, that the power of Christ might rest upon me. Paul says, I would rather have this thorn in the flesh and have to deal with it the rest of my life and have God's power resting upon me than for me to be able to deal and not have the power of God. But don't you see that God does give support? When Paul, with his private pain, is crying out to God three times, he diligently sought that God would take it away. God said, I will not take it away, but I'll give you everything you need to deal with it. My grace is sufficient. That's God giving support. Go, if you will, to John chapter 16. John chapter 16. Verse 33, Jesus speaking to them, and this was the night before he was crucified. He says, These things have I spoken unto you. This is 16:33, book of John. These things have I spoken unto you, that in me you might have peace. In the world you shall have tribulation. Boy, we know that's true, don't we? That's life. In the world you shall have tribulation, but be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. You know who can give you comfort? You know who can give you help? God can. Remember, God is in heaven. God is on His throne. God is a sovereign God. He's above man. He can interfere and intervene in the affairs of man. And we need Him to, don't we? We need the comfort of God. Go back to Hebrews chapter 2, if you would, please. Aren't you glad that God's overcome the world? Don't you have private pain? Don't you have hurts? I believe that you do. And I want you to know that God knows and God cares and God has a purpose in it and God will give you what you need. Back in Hebrews chapter 2 and verse 18, says, For in that He Himself hath suffered being tempted, He is able to succor, to comfort them that are tempted. Remember we saw that verse where He's tempted at all points like as we are, yet without sin. That was in chapter 4. Here in chapter 2, He said that He Himself has suffered. He was tempted. He understands. He is able to succor. He's able to comfort. God gives comfort. Listen, if you will, to Isaiah 40. He giveth power to the faint. To them that have no might, He increaseth strength. Philippians chapter 4, do you remember verse 13? I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me. Do you believe that's true? You think Christ can give you what you need to endure your private pain? Related text, Isaiah chapter 41, verse 10. Fear thou not, for I am with thee. Be not dismayed, for I am God. I will strengthen thee, yea, I will help thee, yea, I'll hold thee with the right hand of my righteousness. Psalm 34, verse 17, The righteous cry, and the Lord heareth and delivereth them out of all their troubles. The Lord is nigh unto them that are of a broken heart, and saveth such as be of a contrite spirit. Many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord delivereth him out of them all. Does God give comfort? I submit that He does. I don't know if you're in private pain today. I believe that you are. I think you have something that nobody knows about but God. And I trust that you would step into these points. Because I believe that in order for me to deal with private pain, and I think you're going to have to face it about the same way, you need to realize that God exists, that God knows, that God cares, and that God has a purpose, and that God will give comfort. Those are some things that I must know in dealing with my private pain. Let me pass on then to what I must do. What must I do in regard to my private pain? You're there in Hebrews, right? Go across the page or turn the page to chapter 4. First of all, I will submit unto you, and I must hasten along, be active in prayer. Now, those are things that I need to know, but what must I do? I must be active in prayer. Hebrews chapter 4, verse 16, and we read there about how he was tempted in all points like as we are, yet without sin. So verse 16 says, let us therefore, as a result of this, let us therefore come boldly under the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in a time of need. You know, in Matthew chapter 6, in the model prayer, part of that model prayer is, and lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. That's a good prayer to pray, isn't it? Let us be in prayer. Be active in prayer. Turn, if you would, to Philippians chapter 4. Philippians chapter 4. Paul wrote to the church at Philippi, and he tells them in verse 6, be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication. With thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. Worry over nothing, pray over everything, be thankful. And he says in verse 7, the peace of God, which passes all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. He didn't say he's going to take away all your pain and all your trouble, but he can give you grace. Remember what he told Paul? My grace is sufficient for thee. So don't worry over anything. You pray over everything. And you know what? The peace of God can come upon you. Be active in prayer. That's what I must do if I'm going to deal with private pain. I must be active in prayer. Secondly, I would submit unto you, and I invite you to turn to Romans 15. I must be involved in Bible study. You say, well, that doesn't make a lot of sense. Well, we're commended by Paul in 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 15, to study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needs not be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. We need to understand the Bible. We need to understand what God has revealed to us. And this is God's guidebook for us. This is the handbook on life and living in eternity. You know why some people suffer so much and why Christians deal with so many things and continue to deal, and they kind of just flounder around like a fish on a bank? It's because they don't know anything about the Bible. And they have no promises, they have no guidance, they have no leadership, and they're just trying to make it through life. And if I'm going to face my private pain, I have to be active in prayer, and I have to be active in Bible study. I must be involved in that. I ask you to turn to Romans 15, look at verse 4. Paul wrote to the saints at Rome, and he says, for whatsoever things were written aforetime were written for our learning, and that we through patience and comfort of the Scriptures might have hope. Can you learn from the Bible? Yes, those things are written for us, for our benefit, that we might have comfort, that we might receive patience. You can learn from the study of the Word of God. 2 Timothy chapter 3, if you'd like to turn over there. 2 Timothy chapter 3. When it talks about the Scripture is given by inspiration. Here in verse 16, all Scripture is given by inspiration of God. And it's profitable for what? Profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. All that we need to live and to serve and to love Jesus Christ in this life is found in the book. And if I'm looking and dealing with inward pain, that private pain, I must know what God has to say. I must know the promises of God's Word. And I encourage you, if you have private pain, be active in prayer and be active in Bible study. You know, Paul wrote to the Corinthians, he said, for all the promises of God in Him are yea, and in Him, amen. Promises, aren't you glad for the promises of God? You can buy little cards that have all the promises listed. You can buy little booklets that list the promises of God. Quick references, nothing wrong with that. Because I'll tell you, when you're between a rock and a hard place, when the pain comes in and when the doctor says it's terminal and that kind of thing, you need the promises of God. You need God's grace. And if you don't know the Word of God, you don't know the promises of God, you can't rely upon them. One of my favorite verses is, precious in the sight of the Lord is the death of His saints. That verse came to me back in 1978 as a friend of ours that we knew from college was killed in a car wreck. That was the first time in my life that in a personal way, when I was old enough to understand death, that I lost somebody that we knew and I cared about. And that verse came as a comfort to me. I've never forgotten it. Psalm 116, verse 15. Precious in the sight of the Lord is the death of the saints. And if you lose a loved one and they go to be with Jesus Christ, I'll tell you, that verse will help you. It's a promise, isn't it? In 1 Corinthians, Paul wrote and he said, now all these things happened unto them for examples, and they are written for our admonition, upon whom the ends of the world are come. You can learn from reading the Bible, and you can learn from studying the Scripture. I encourage you to do that. So I must be active in prayer, and I must be involved in Bible study. Number three, I must have a trusted accountability partner or a confidant. Galatians chapter 6. Are you familiar with this verse? Galatians chapter 6 and verse 2 says, "Bear ye one another burdens, so fulfill the law of Christ." You know, sometimes we just need help from somebody. We need counsel from somebody. We are to bear one another's burden. But I'll tell you, you need a trusted accountability partner. You need a trusted person, a confidant, someone whom you can tell and they will not say a word. I'll tell you, there are people who told me things that nobody's ever heard, not even my wife, because when I'm told in confidence, I do not share it. Because sometimes people just need to share. And they need to tell. And they need to ask. And sometimes, you know what? If they choose to share with me, then they can. Bear ye one another's burdens. You might have that private pain. If you can't carry it alone, if you can't deal with it alone, find someone who you can have confidence in and trust in to say, "Hey, give me some help here. Give me some direction. Let me tell you what's going on." The book of Proverbs tells us, "The way of the fool is right in his own eyes, but he that hearkeneth unto counsel is wise." Good counsel is a good thing. And sometimes you need to talk to somebody just to get some counsel. Proverbs 27 also tells us this, "As iron sharpeneth iron, so a man sharpeneth the countenance of his friend." Sometimes we just need that outside perspective. Sometimes we just need that word. Sometimes we need the wisdom and counsel from someone outside of ourselves. And you have to choose and be very wise about that. But if you can, if you have a confidant, somebody you can share, then you might find some help with your private pain. Then there's the all-familiar verse that found in James chapter 1. We're not that far from there, but James chapter 1 and verse 5, "I need to seek God for wisdom." I love this text. This is a promise of God's Word. If you didn't have this promise, you'd be struggling all the time. James 1, 5 says, "If any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God, who giveth unto all men liberally, and upbraideth not, and it shall be given him." I know I need wisdom as I go through life. And I know I need wisdom how to make decisions. I need wisdom to deal with the troubles and the trials and the heartaches. I need wisdom to deal with private pain. You need that wisdom. Where are you going to get it? Well, yeah, you might get some help from a friend. I don't diminish that. I just encourage you to do that. But I'll tell you, you go to God. Go to God. God, give me wisdom. I need your grace. And then I would submit unto you, and I invite you to turn back to Proverbs chapter 3. I really do need to hasten along here. Proverbs chapter 3. "I submit unto you, be patient." Listen very carefully here. If you have private pain, be patient. I'm just going to read these verses to you. Isaiah chapter 40, verse 31. "But they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint." A related text, Psalm 37, 5, "Commit thy way unto the Lord, trust also in Him, He shall bring it to pass." Trust, patience, wait. Psalm 55, verse 2, "Cast thy burden upon the Lord, and He shall sustain thee. He shall never suffer the righteous to be moved." Be patient. Following up on that, and I've asked you to turn to Proverbs chapter 3, be sensible. Be sensible. Proverbs chapter 3, verse 5, "Trust in the Lord with all thine heart. Lean not to thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge Him, and He shall direct thy paths." What do I mean by be sensible? Well, Solomon wrote over in Ecclesiastes chapter 5, and I know he's talking about vows, but he says, "Be not rash with thy mouth." You know what some people will do? They'll have this private pain, and they just they won't wait upon the Lord, and they'll just react. And so, what are you going to do? They come knocking on your door next week saying, "We're going to foreclose on your home. We're going to go rob a bank." That's a little extreme. That's a little dramatic. Don't do it. Be sensible about this. You got an organ that's failing. You got a kidney that's going out. You need a kidney transplant. What are you going to do? Go down there and knock somebody off and steal their kidneys? It happens. Be sensible. Be sensible. Family problems? financial issues, personal issues, church issues. Man, you got to have some patience and you got to have some sense. You just can't shoot from the hip. It's a mistake. Isaiah 26:3 says, "Thou wilt keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed upon thee, because he trusteth in thee." In other words, what I'm saying to you is, don't freak out. Don't panic. Wait upon God. I know it's hard, but wait. God's grace is sufficient. The last thing is this, and I have four verses. I want you to look at these. 1 Peter chapter 5, very familiar passage. I'll try not to elaborate too much. I've said to you today that there are things that I must know and then there are things that I must do. And what I must do is I must be active in prayer. I must be active in Bible, or involved in Bible study. I must trust, have a trusted, confident confidant. I must seek God for wisdom. I must be patient. I must be sensible. I must be surrendered. 1 Peter chapter 5. Verse 5 says this. Last part of the text. God resisteth the proud and giveth grace to the humble. Humble yourselves therefore under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time, casting all your care upon him, for he careth for you. Originally it was just going to give verse 7. But you know, the context really tells us it's a matter of surrender. Do not be proud. Do not be arrogant. Do not resist. You submit to God. You humble yourself before God, and you can take anything you want to God and cast your care upon him, and he'll care for you. But if you want to handle it on your own way, you want to, I'm a man, I've been taught to take care of my stuff all my life. You can do it if you want. But God will not be your helper because you think you can handle it. This private pain that you're going through, I know we've been taught and trained to handle life situations. I understand that. I'm not saying go bury your head in the sand, but I'll tell you, you need to humble yourself to God. And you need to bow your knee. You need to surrender. Back to James chapter 4, a few pages to the left. In verse 15, we're told this. 4:15, this is in regard to life and living. He says, "For ye ought to say, if the Lord will, we shall live and do this or that." And I want to emphasize the matter of the Lord will. If the Lord will, I will live and I will do this and that. If the Lord will, I'll be able to deal with this private pain. I'll be able to satisfy this. I might receive some comfort. If the Lord will, I have to be surrendered to God. I've already mentioned to you that in God's providence, God allows things to come into our life and God brings things into our life that are hurtful, and he does it for a reason. And I have to be surrendered to that. I have to be willing to accept that if I'm going to deal with my private pain properly. Look at James chapter 4, look at verse 6. "But he giveth more grace. Wherefore he saith, God resisteth the proud, but giveth grace to the humble. Submit yourselves therefore to God. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you." Look at verse 10. "Humble yourselves therefore in the sight of God, and he shall lift you up." Some Christians are fighting God all along the way because God has not brought things into their life that they thought they ought to have. And so they view life one way and they think God should be doing it their way, and so they're angry with God. We need to be humble before God. We need to be surrendered to the Lord. We need to give it up to him. And God will bless us if we do. Turn to one other place, Romans chapter 8. This text of which I make reference has one of the greatest promises of Scriptures. But I want you to see within the context here, and we're just going to mention this, I'll be done. I want you to notice the matter of surrender. And if I have my private pain, I have to be surrendered to God. I've got to be submissive to God's will. I pick it up in Romans chapter 8, verse 26. The great promises in 28, but in 26 it says, "Likewise the Spirit also helps our infirmities, for we know not what we should pray for as we ought. But the Spirit itself maketh intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered." You know, sometimes you just don't know how to pray, do you? You don't really know how to bring a thing before God. But I'm so glad that the Spirit helps us in our infirmities. Notice how he does it. Verse 27, "He that searcheth the hearts knows what is the mind of the Spirit, because he makes intercession for the saints according to the will of God." So let me use this example. Paul is saying, "God, this thorn in the flesh, I pray three times you take this away. God, would you take it away? Would you take it away? Would you take it away?" And every time the Holy Spirit, knowing what the will of God is, saying, "Well, no, my grace is sufficient for you." He goes, takes that prayer of Paul, takes it up before the throne in heaven and says, "Do not take it away." And the Spirit itself bears witness with us and intercedes for us. And He does it according to the will of God. And because we know that we don't know how to pray all the time, that the Spirit intercedes for us perfectly according to God's will, we have that great promise, verse 28, and we know that all things work together for good to them who love God, to them who are called according to His purpose. It didn't say everything was good. It didn't say that all our private pain will just disappear. But I know that this promise is true. And it's because the Holy Spirit will take my prayer and He will make it the way it ought to be according to God's will in the presence of God, and I will receive from God exactly what God wants for me, and therefore I know that all things work together for good. And sometimes that includes private pain. Sometimes that includes hurts and sorrow and sickness and tragedy. If I understand that, it'll make a difference. But I have to be surrendered to it. We have a song in our songbook that says, "Is there a heart, O bound by sorrow? Is there a life weighed down by care? Come to the cross, each burden bearing. All your anxiety, leave it there. No other friend so keen to help you. No other friend so quick to hear. No other place to leave your burden. No other one to hear your prayer. Come then at once, delay no longer. Heed His entreaty, kind and sweet. You need not fear a disappointment. You shall find peace at the mercy seat." The chorus of the song says, "All your anxiety, all your care, bring to the mercy seat, leave it there. Never a burden He cannot bear, never a friend like Jesus." Be surrendered, and then be positive. Look for the silver lining. Make the best of it. Endeavor to honor and glorify God through whatever God allows to come into your life. Colossians 3 tells us, "Whatsoever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God and the Father by Him." Be positive. Turn that lemon into lemonade. Amen? By God's grace, you can do it. So that's what I must do. What can I do then? And by this, I mean looking beyond myself. This is the last point. I'm done. I must look beyond myself and look at others, and I need to be aware. That is, I need to be aware that those around me are hurting. I need to pray. I need to pray for those who are hurting. I need to encourage. That is, I need to encourage those who are hurting. And if possible, lend assistance. But above all, I want to point them to Jesus. So if you're hurting here today, I can just share with you some thoughts that I offer to you, what I might do with my private pain. But I want to encourage you. I want to point you to Jesus in your private pain. And go to the cross and leave your burden there. Cast your care upon Him. Would you do it? And if you're lost, oh, that you might be saved, your greatest need is to know Jesus Christ. I appreciate your patience. I know that I've gone a little over in time, but I hope it's been a good investment. I'd like for us to stand. Brother Paul, would you please come? Those kids taught me that as I look at life and I look at these people, they look good. No problems. But they're all hurting. And I understand as you come in every week and you smile at me and you say, "How you doing?" "I'm good." I know there could well be private pain and you're crying on the inside. Would you take these things and let God speak to your heart? May you find courage. Father, thank You for the day. Thank You for Your word. Thank You for the privilege of sharing it. And I pray that, Lord, each one has received it for the intent of which it was offered. And I pray that the time that's been utilized has been a good investment, and that everyone today would say, "Yes, it's been good to have been in the house of the Lord." May You be honored and glorified. Will You speak to our hearts? Lord, help us as we deal with our private pain to be surrendered to You, to seek Your face. May You give us every grace we need to live for You and to love You. Save the lost, we ask in Jesus' name. Amen. What number, Brother Paul?